Okay, so we're on Yerim and Aleph. We're discussing this halacha that if a Talmud goes to Galus, his Rebbe goes with him. Okay? So Talmud goes to Galus, he kills B'shogeg. Not only does he go to Galus, he brings his Rebbe with him. His Rebbe has to go with him. And we said, that's kind of strange halacha. Right? You tell me, as the kid, as Talmud forces his Rebbe to go to Galus, why does his Rebbe have to go? What does Rebbe do? Right? I mean, he's the one who killed B'shogeg. It's a strange halacha. And then we says, the Gemara says, you see from here that a Rebbe should be careful who he teaches, because if you may teach Talmud Sheino Hagun, which is a bad idea, you're not supposed to teach a bad guy, you may end up in Galus yourself. Right? Which is strange. Right? Strange type of reason not to teach Talmud Sheino Hagun. Okay, so one thing we said, Talmud Sheino Hagun, the Gemara says, is a bad, very bad idea. Teaching the bad guy is a bad idea. It could lead to, like, destroying the Torah. So he said, do you think you're trying to save the Torah and spread the Torah? It turns out you're arming a guy, first of all, who's not really a good guy, and he could go and attack the Torah. And only that, he represents the Torah. He's now a Talmud. And he learns the Mishmash. People are going to look at him as a model of what Torah is. So that really undermines Torah. Causes a Chil Hashem. Causes people to have a wrong idea about Torah. Right? So it's really harming Torah. It's a bad idea. You shouldn't be taking on a Talmud Sheino Hagun. Right? Fine. But we said like this, is that, I'm just giving you some background here, but we said is that even though it's a big avera to take a Talmud Sheino Hagun because it destroys the Torah, it's easy to fall prey to that avera because you don't feel very guilty. On the contrary, you feel like a tzaddik, because after all, you're teaching Torah, spreading Torah. So certain averas are dangerous because of the fact that there's no guilt attached to them. On the contrary, you feel like it's a good thing. So therefore, Chazal had to strongly caution you against it and point out you stand to lose personally. You may end up in Galus. They're cautioning you, don't do it. Of course, don't do it for philosophical reasons, because it's going to destroy the Torah. But since a person is prone to getting carried away and to doing it, because it feels good, it feels like he's doing something good, so therefore they warned you that you may end up in Galus. So it gives you pause to think about the fact that it has a negative effect on your life. So it'll give you an additional reason to stop and think before you teach these guys. Yes, that's what Ram says, is you should teach him Midos and direct him on a proper path. We don't just turn away from these guys. But he doesn't belong in the Beis Medrash. It's not the time to give a guy sugyos and open up the doors of the Beis Medrash to the guy. He's not shaykh. He's not ready for that. He doesn't value Torah. He doesn't respect Torah. He's on a bad path. So first you have to get him to be fit. Then you'll start teaching him Torah. He doesn't belong in the Beis Medrash. He doesn't belong as a representative of the Torah. He's not a Ben Torah. He's basically on a derech ra. So first you got to work on him, help him out, direct him towards the Torah. Then, once he does tshuva, once he's on the right path, once you're certain, then you could let him into the Beis Medrash. Okay. So now the thing is like this, as we said, but what's the sense of forcing the Rebbe to go to Galus? Sounds crazy. Right? Sounds crazy. So, the limud, so we took one step. We said one step is like this. The limud is, hu yonas alacha saramael, he runs to one of these cities, v'chai, and he lives. What does it mean, and he lives? It means you got to it's not just that you protect him. He's safe from the Gol Adam. But you have to really give him a life. Give him a life means, first of all, he's safe. Second of all, it says you have to make sure there's water in the town. And you have to make sure there's food and marketplaces around so he can get all his needs. And you have to make sure there's a population around so they'll be able to protect him in case the Gol Adams come. And there's a whole series of things that it really means to give him a life. And the limud is, v'chai, give him a life. What's a life? A life is Torah. To take a guy away from the centers of Torah and just to put him into some city where he's totally going to be removed from Torah, he's not going to be able to learn. What kind of v'chai is that? The whole idea of v'chai is to really give him a life. And it's a kapara. The kapara is not just coming through isolating the guy, it's through giving him the access to being able to do tshuva. The whole institution is to give him tshuva. To give him a new life, to allow him to set up his life on a better derech than he's been on. So it says you got to give him Torah. So it says another thing is that a guy, how's he going to learn Torah without a rabbi? It says a person is attached to a rabbi and he can't just learn from anybody. So that's what the limud is. is that part of Gullus is giving him Torah. Torah needs a Rabbi, so therefore the Rabbi has to go also. Now, there's two things. Is one thing is, how is it fair for the Rabbi? We said, let's ignore that halacha for the time being. Ignore that question. We said, the halacha is, apparently, it's not that the Rebbe is chayiv galus, because the Rebbe didn't kill b'shogeg. It's not the Rebbe's chayiv galus. The Talmud's chayiv galus. But galus means a place which gives a person life, b'chai. Part of the definition of galus is that it gives him his needs, and his basic need is, like the Ram says, like a need person about tabal chachma without Torah is like that. That's not, what kind of life is that? So it's like part of the very halacha of galus is that it must be that his Rebbe's going to be there. So it's not like the Rebbe's not chayiv galus as like a gavra. He's not chayiv galus. It's the Talmud is chayiv galus. But it's like he comes along for the ride with the Talmud's galus. The Talmud's galus wouldn't really be galus without the Rebbe, because of what the definition of galus is. Galus is a place which gives a guy chayim. Just like you wouldn't have galus without water, you don't have galus without a Rebbe. That's part of the definition of what galus is. So that's the halacha. Now, why is he chayiv to go? Well, why is the rest of Klal Yisrael chayiv to build irrigation to supply water to the Har Miklat, and chayiv to make markets near the Har Miklat? That's part of the chayiv on Klal Yisrael to create an Har Miklat. So part of the chayiv is that you have to provide a service for Rotzel Mishkaga to give them Har Miklat, which will provide them chayim. So the Rebbe is part of a Klal Yisrael, and he's chayiv to make sure that there's Har Miklat, and Har Miklat functioning properly demands that there's chayim there. That there's life, and life demands Torah. So therefore, it turns out the Rebbe has to go. But it's still bothersome. It's like, it just doesn't seem right. And we still have to kind of take that up. It's like, it's still, like, it's, we're defining the halacha. Luckily, that's the definition. Look, v'chai, that's what Miklat is. So it turns out, the Rebbe has to go. But it's still bothersome. What's the justice in this thing? It seems a little bit crazy to be v'chai v'Rebbe to go to Galus, because his Talmud killed, now that's it, you ruined the Rebbe's life, and all the other Talmudim, and the whole thing just sounds like a funny, so we have to tell you, that's kind of where we're up to. Question about what if there are other Talmudim, is two ways to go on that. One is to say, if Halacha doesn't apply in that circumstance, which is easy, but no one says that. So the other answer is, I mean, I think maybe some of the Chachamim say, I forgot to look, but I think some people say that. But it's not open, no, none of the Rishonim say, none of the Plain Pshat, you know? The other case is to say, no, he even goes under those circumstances, but that's hard to understand. Yeah. But even without, my point is like this, even forgetting about the other Talmidim, what about the Rebbe himself?
Right, somehow it's going to affect his learning.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't seem to be, like, it makes, in a certain sense, it makes sense, based if you just define the halacha. But if you just think about it, it's just like, really? You're going to tell me a Rebbe has to go to Gullus for his life until the Armikla to make me his whole life? Because his Talmud killed Meshogeg? I mean, that just seems steep. Yeah, that's the question. Why does he hit Rebbe? So Ravas says from here, he asked that question. Well, let's learn by a different Rebbe. Look, the last guy who killed Meshogeg must have his Rebbe there. What do you need, you know? So he says, or just make the Rosh Yeshiva of Armiklat, right? I mean, Maradasra. What do you need? How many Rebbes do you need in Armiklat? It's a 1-to-1 ratio. It's a teacher-student ratio in Armiklat. It's a funny... So the Ritva says, he quotes a Gemara, it says, you can't lo min kalad no zocha lo mod. A person can't just learn from anybody. It's not so easy just to learn from anybody. There's such a thing as a Rebbe Talmud relationship, and a person can't just easily learn by anybody. And look, in the world, so you can go traveling around until you find the Rebbe. But in Har Miklat, you're locked in, this is it. So therefore, it's assumed that you can't just pick up any Rebbe. That's kind of the... Look, I guess if you could, then you could. Maybe everybody's not going to have to go. But in general, I guess it's saying, it's like, it's not... It's you need a good shidduch. You know, it's a Shomo's question also, as last week he had... He says, what's the deal if the whole halacha is you shouldn't be teaching the Talmud Shein HaHagon, you're not allowed to teach Talmud Shein HaHagon, and that's why, because you may end up in Galus, so you're not supposed to teach him Torah, right? So now what? Now he kills Zohar Miklat, and the Rebbe goes with him. Why? To teach him? But he's not supposed to teach him. So you're not supposed to teach him. So what do you know? Right? So what's the answer?
He's like, at that point, the guy's at a point of no return.
Okay, but still, don't teach him. 25 nice points of return, but then it says he can't teach Talmud Shein HaHagon.
Right, I mean, he can't really do any further damage in
Galus. I know, but still, you can have him represent Torah. And he could destroy Torah more, he could make fun of Torah, he could whatever, I mean, you know, you don't just open up the Torah to anybody. But I think the answer is, like we said, you said before, is that it doesn't mean, look, presumably, first of all, he's on a path of kapara. And the Rebbe, it's not like you don't teach him anything, you just don't teach him Torah. You don't teach him Gemara, you don't teach him Sugyos. But he's basically on a life's path of tshuva now. He's set on a path of really rectifying his life. He's in Galus. So he's going to, presumably, the Rebbe will work with him on the Derech HaChaim issues, straightening him out. That's what he's committed to now. And then he'll teach him Torah. It means, and as you basically are his Rebbe, but it doesn't mean to the first day you're going to teach him Sugyos and Bava Kamma. Presumably, you're going to have to work your way towards that. So he's going to have to be devoted to making, you know, getting him on a good path and then teaching him Torah. So the question is like this, is could we just answer, what's the justice in the thing? Or could we justify it a little? You could just say, look, this is halacha, and that's it. But could we, it just still sounds troublesome to force the Rebbe to go to Galus because of the student. Right?
Seems okay.
From the student side, it makes good sense. And that's halacha, and that's Arimikla, and you could just say, look, Arimikla's for a Galada, for a Rotzeach, for Shkaga. That's, look, you could say, why does Klai Shal have to build these cities altogether? Look, but apparently we have to service the Rotzeach for Shkaga. That's part of a service that the world of the society provides. Right? That's part of what we do as a society. We protect everybody. So you could say, look, we have to build these cities, and that means also the Rebbe has to go. But it's one thing to build a city for the greater good, but to take a one-to-one ratio is the Rebbe has to go to Galus for the Talmud. It just seems, it just doesn't seem right, you know? It would be nice if we could justify it a little bit. It's not just a one-time thing. You build a city and then you go home. It's like the Rebbe has to go to Galus. He has to move there. I mean, there's no goal that Adam is going to kill him if he leaves, but I guess he'd be able to walk out. I don't think that's a good point, is that presumably he's not going to be bound by the rigorous halachas of Aram Bikla. He's going to be able to leave and come back and visit his kids and whatever. But still, he's going to have to live there. He's going to have to be his Rebbe. Right? But he doesn't want to. He wants to live in Farakwai. He doesn't really want to live in whatever. Whatever he wants to live. I mean, that's why he has to move there. I mean, it's just, why? Because his bum Talmud killed somebody? Now that's it? That's his life? A question. I think you guys are saying a good answer, but let me just give you one more question before you say the answer. Is that the Gemara says, after it says in halacha that you go to Galus, if your Rebbe goes to Galus with a Talmud, it says you from here you learn that you shouldn't teach a Talmud chain Hagen. Right? As Rashi says, because maybe you can go to Galus. So I understand like how it's like a bad idea. You see, it's a bad idea to teach Talmud chain Hagen, right? Because you may end up in Galus. But in Mikan that you shouldn't do it, it sounds like there's something wrong with it. It's not just like, Mikan, think twice before you teach Talmud chain Hagen. It says, no, Mikan that you shouldn't teach Talmud chain Hagen. So how do you derive from here that you shouldn't teach Talmud chain Hagen, that there's something wrong with it? Maybe you'll say, look, Mikan from here, I'll see that I can take my chances. Teach Talmud chain Hagen at your own risk. Right? Just know that there is a danger. But how do you know? It seems to be it's deducing that Mikan that you shouldn't teach the Talmud chain Hagen. So I understand saying you shouldn't from other reasons, and that here is an additional risk.
All right, then
but it seems to be saying from here you derive that you shouldn't teach Talmud chain Hagen. Right? From here you derive it. So how does that follow? Could we answer that? I think the answer is good, and I think it goes together with this other question, is what's the justice in the thing? You see, the question is what, it's very nice to say, vis-a-vis the Talmud, the mitzvah of Galus is to give him Chaim. And Chaim means he has to have life. Life includes Torah. Nice. Good. Fine. But the question is, but what's the sense that's not fair for a Rebbe? So it's a nice halacha, but it's like something flawed with the system if you're going to set up a formulation of the thing that ends up dooming a Rebbe to a life of Galus where he didn't really do anything wrong. It's not right. So that's like it's a strange halacha. So he's saying is, Rav Zeira is saying is that it must be that there's some mistake that the Rebbe made by teaching the Talmud Shein Hagen. He did something wrong. And therefore, in a certain sense, and we'll spell this out like we did, is that it's reasonable, based upon his error of teaching a Talmud Shein Hagen, which is a big mistake, for him to have to go to Galus and thereby somehow repair his error.
That's what I'm saying.
right? Is if it were the case that teaching a Talmud Sheheinu Hagun was a big mitzvah of Arbatzah's Torah, teaching everybody Torah, if that were the halacha, the mitzvah is teach everybody in the world Torah. Go out in the world, teach every person, no matter who he is, teach him Torah. Then you're going to have a halacha that if you teach a bad guy Torah and he kills a b'shogeg, you're going to be forced to go to Galus. That's an unfair halacha. It's very nice you want to formulate who Yanas Ari Mikla like that, but it's wrong. Because I'm doing a big mitzvah of teaching a thing of Gala, teaching Guy Torah, and now it turns out I have to go to Galus. Where's the sense in that? Right? So what we're saying is rather, no, you shouldn't be teaching him Torah. Because, as we said last time, it's like it's going to be Chal Hashem. You're going to end up having a guy involved in Torah who really shouldn't be. He's going to misrepresent Torah. He's going to destroy Torah. He doesn't belong in Torah. Don't teach him Torah. Now you did. You wanted to teach him Torah. You brought him into Torah. That's bad. It's corrupt. Now when he goes to Ari Miklat, now it's going to be your responsibility to fix him up. He's going to Ari Miklat, which is a kapara, and it's going to help him on the right path. So now you're going to be bound to servicing him in Ari Miklat and to helping him go on the right path, and then you'll teach him Torah properly. But you'll say for him, which works out for him, because he's Vehuliyan Samarachai, Ari Miklat has to give him life, and it's not right. It is right. Because by you going with him, you're going to right the wrong that you did. The wrong is that you created a Tom Sheinu Hoglin who's in the world of Torah. Now you're going to be bound to him, tied up in his betterment and his kapara, and then you'll be teaching him Torah in the proper way. So now why are you, is it your fault? Why do you have to go with him? Oh, because this is part of his kapara, and it's your response. So far as he doesn't get a full kapara and he can't right his ways, it's you're on the line, because now you have a guy who's really corrupt, who's representing Torah, and it's your fault. So therefore, you end up, it is fair to send the guy to the Rav Dari Miklat. But as they were saying is Mikan, you could deduce from here that there's a crime in teaching Talmud Sheinu Hagun. Because if there were not a crime in teaching Talmud Sheinu Hagun, it wouldn't be fair, it wouldn't be right to send the Rabbi to Galus, where after all, he didn't do anything. He didn't do anything, he only did a mitzvah. Good question. So I was asking, let's say a guy is not a Talmud. He's just playing Amaretz. He doesn't have a Talmud, he doesn't have a Rabbi. He never did Asei Lecha Rav. Now he kills B'shogeg. So who you on the Sachas or Machai? So what's he supposed to do? How's he going to have a Chai?
Drag someone.
What's he going to do? Who's he going to go to? Could say he'll have to learn from the Levium and from the people in the Ari Miklat, but maybe he's not going to find a good Shidduch. Look, you never get Shidduch Hazardous. What are you going to do? There's nothing to do. I mean, look, there's the bottom line is he hasn't been in learning. It's going to, point is a guy who does have a Rabbi. So for him, we have to give him, we can't lessen his circumstance, I guess. Whereas I guess it's going to be less than what he had. But at the same time, what are you going to do? Ultimately, what are you going to do? There's no real solution to that problem. What?
Just appoint him already?
I mean, I guess he'll have to learn from someone else in the Ari Miklat. Right? It's interesting because the Rambam says, the Rambam may answer this question, I think. I don't think everyone learns like the Rambam. But the Rambam says, he runs one of the cities of Achai, and he says, the life of a Baal of Chachma, of a person of Chachma, without learning, is like that. So he's learning, it's like because the guy is already has his head in learning, so now V'chai means you have to give him life. You have to give him learning. But for a guy who's just a bum, you don't say V'chai includes Torah. You say, look, you give him a life, means you give him his standard of living, so he doesn't learn, so he won't learn a Miklat, you're not going to give him a Rabbi. He's not a guy who does Rabbis. He's not every guy learns Torah, not every guy, look, every person in theory should learn a little bit, but in practice, it's not the case. So you don't say that for that guy, life demands Torah. For a guy who learns, so he learns, and now for him, you have to keep up his chayim, you have to give him learning. But for the other guy, he'll just answer and say, look, that's not the halacha. But the plain pshat in the Gemara is not like the Rambam. The plain pshat is saying is for anybody, v'chai means, look, it's very nice he's Baal Amaretz, but he should be learning, and real chayim is to have Torah. So therefore everybody would have it, and then your question is, oh, so what do you do about Amaretz? So then it is you have to say, look, there's nothing you can do. We'll just get into Rebbe and Ari Miklat. There's no one who you're going to force to go. He doesn't have somebody, so he's going to find somebody. So what are you going to do? You can't do a Rebbe search before he runs Ari Miklat and then bring that Rebbe with him.
Right.
There's nothing you can do.
It's necessary.
So like this: Talmud Shagalolir Miklat Megalim Rabu Imo Shneim Avachai Ase Lo Kadesh Yechya. Do for him in order to live. The Chaye Bale Chachma Umevaksheha Below Talmud. The life of Bal Chachma and one who seeks out Chachma without learning, without Talmud, Kemisa Chashuv. It's like death. V'chaye balei chachma umvaksheha, the life of people who are chachamim, balei chachma, and those who seek it out, below Talmud, without learning, kemisa chashuv. It's like death. So it's funny because the Rambam, the Gemara seems to be saying, it's funny the Rambam altogether. The Gemara seems to be saying he's a Talmud Shein Hagan, and he's a bad guy. And the Rambam's calling him a balei chachma umvaksheha. This guy is a Rebbe. But I wonder if they're a problem. I mean, just because a guy is a Nohagan doesn't mean he can't be, have his head in learning. I mean, he has a rabbi. There's cases, he's a rabbi, so he's a bad guy. But a guy could still be like a bad midos, but he could still love learning. It's exciting. He's pursuing chachma. And to take a guy who likes to learn, even if it's not really his ultimate, you know, ultimately he has bad midos and he's on a bad path, it's still to take him away from the learning. It could be it's like his life becomes empty. So look, he's conflicted. He's like, look, what kind of guy is this? So obviously he's a conflicted guy.
Life can be empty. He doesn't have Torah.
Yeah.
He's yeah. Doing the Torah for bad. He's not coming.
Doesn't matter though.
He's coming to
try to
coming
well, it's going to be harmful and it's bad because he has bad midos. But the bottom line is the guy's learning. So why is he learning? And his learning is enjoyable. And it gives the person some meaning in his life. So now, it's true, he's on a bad path, and he has bad midos, and he also does bad stuff, but at the same time, he has a rabbi, and he learns. So now learning provides a person a certain touch with the truth, and with reality. And for a guy who's... For a guy who learns, even if you're not... even a person's not a big, high-level guy, if a guy has his head in learning, and he appreciates learning on some level, and then he goes out into the world... I think there's a certain sense of emptiness. Even if he doesn't really have a true, a full appreciation of Torah, like Lashma.
While he's in Torah, he's really gaining from it. But,
yes,
but
he's still...
But he goes out into the world and he sins. That has nothing to do with the learning, per se.
Yeah,
the
right.
Learning was good.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right.
Not,
yeah, you know. Right, exactly. I'm saying he's like, right, he's a conflicted guy, right? He's a guy who's in learning. And learning, and so far as he's learning, look, he may have alternative motivations, but bottom line is there's like mitoshon v'alshma, there's an appeal of truth and reality and learning in Torah. So now now it's true, but he's not a high level, he's not a good guy. He shouldn't be in learning. He should be figuring his midos first. But bottom line is that he does still learn, and he's a baal chacham of akshel, he's seeking out Torah. Now you take that away from him, and you just throw him into jail, and he can't learn at all, so now his life is going to be empty. So look, he'll still have his other stuff. But now he's going to try to do tshuva, right? That's what he's an Aryeh Miklat. But he's not going to have learning. He's not going to have chachma. Especially because now he's on a path of turning around. But now he doesn't have any chachma. So now what are you going to do? He's supposed to turn around, and now he doesn't have any rabbi. He has no way to learn. So that's not a life. But a guy who's an Amaretz, and he's never had Torah, he's no interest in Torah, he's never had a rabbi. So now he goes and goes to Aryeh Miklat. So then he'll start doing tshuva. He'll do whatever. He'll do a simple person's tshuva. He's the work on his midos. But he's not a person of chachma. He's not a person who seeks out Torah, knowledge. But for a person who does, saying is now you have to replace the Torah. That's how the Rambam seems to be learning. The simpler way to learn, I think Rashi says something like, let me see. Rashi says, V'chai, he says, no, he doesn't say anything. I thought he did. Someone said something. But the simpler way to learn is just, look, a life without chachma isn't a life. Every person. That's just the way of life. So you have to give every person life. That's the way learning, that's the way life goes. Ultimate value in life. And a person's on the path of chayim, you have to give him Torah. In which case, you'll have to ask someone's question, is what about a guy who's Ram Aretz? So it could be an Echonami. He'll have to learn there. But he can't get a Rebbe. He doesn't have a Rebbe. So what are you supposed to do? Now you'll say, so now he used to be able to pick from a million Rebbe's, now he only has a few. What are you going to do? He has to go to Galus. There's no solution to that problem. You know? But when he has a Rebbe, so now there is a solution. Send this Rebbe with him. And how is it fair? So we're saying it must be that the Rebbe did something wrong. Right, just to make it straight. I'm saying, Yeshua is saying, why does the Rebbe have to go? Is it because the Chai, because of the Talmud? Or is it because the Onesh for the Rebbe? So I'm saying, no. It's not the Onesh for the Rebbe. Because there's no halacha, there's no Avera that has an Onesh of going to Galus, except one. Ritzicha b'shkag. Kill the b'shogeg. And it's only the Talmud who killed b'shogeg, not the rabbi. So the rather it's the Talmud's going to galus, but galus for a Talmud means v'chai. And you can't have v'chai without a rabbi being there. So just like the builders of Eretz of Klal Yisrael chayev to build roads for Arei Miklat, the rabbi is going to be is another component of Klal Yisrael is chayev to provide v'chai in Arei Miklat. So the rabbi is going not because he has an onesh of Arei Miklat, because that's not his onesh. His onesh, he doesn't have that onesh. He's not a tzeach b'shkaga, but he's going because of the Talmud. What I'm just saying is that it's not right to force him to do that. What's the sense of forcing him to do it? It's not fair. So saying no, it is fair because there is a sense because in terms of. He also is a chote vis-a-vis this Talmud, and he has a responsibility to repair that. But he's not like a gavra of galus. For instance, we said, presumably he could go visit his family, he could go on trips, there's no goldan who's going to go and kill him, because he's not a Zeh Bushkaga. But he's committed to the life. Once you sign up with that Talmud, it's like you're committed to repairing him. And even if Yansan Rai Miklat, you're committed to that. And is it right? Yeah, it is right. You shouldn't have armed him with Torah. Now he's a guy who's in Torah, and you're responsible. You could just say, look, this is the halacha, and why is it fair to the rabbi? I don't know. This is just the halacha, it's not fair. Who cares about fair? I know, you could say that, but I don't know, it bothers me. And it seems to be, I'm suggesting it bothers Ravina also, Rezera, and that's why he's saying, you see from here, that it's not right, that it's not really and it could be is because it's just like the Torah is a good system. And to say to take a guy who's a tzaddik doing mitzvahs and just to force him, it's not just to build the city. You're forcing him to move out of Arakawai and live in Arei Miklat. That's his life. I mean, this is an onesh. Living in Arei Miklat is an onesh which we give to people who are bad people who are Otzka Mishkaga. Now to say is you're going to force the rabbi to go and do that because of the look, that's the halacha v'chai. It just seems to me it's not reasonable if you can't justify it in terms of, look, you could just say, look, that's the halacha, but it's like a kasha on the justice of the Torah. It's like it's taking a thing which is like an onesh of a regular guy, and now you're going to force him to the rabbi also to have to go. It's just not right. Bad. All I'm saying the Torah system has to be mishpat, and to take an onesh and force it on the onesh onto an innocent rabbi because of a technicality of the way we formulate the thing is like it's corrupt. It's just not a fair system. No. So you could just say, look, that's the gospel. That's halacha, and that's it. No questions asked. But it's not reasonable. So, like, look, I don't know if it's part of the halachic definition, right, but it's you could derive, it must be. The Torah system is right, and it's just, and it's reasonable. So it must be that there's something wrong with teaching Talmud Shein Ohagim. Because otherwise, it's just wrong. This halacha doesn't make sense. That's what bothers you when you learn the sugya. It just doesn't make sense. So, look, you could just say, look, that's halacha, and stop asking questions. But there's an assumption that the Torah makes sense. And Torah is a mishpat. And to take an onesh and force a guy, it would be like if you force a guy, every serial killer who gets stuck in jail, gets thrown into jail, you force his mother to go because his mother has to take care of him. But what does mother do wrong? It just wouldn't be a just law. You could say, look, that's the law. But it's a stupid law. How's a guy supposed to do whatever without his mother there? I don't know, but what are you going to do? That's a bad law. Don't set up a law like that. So you'll say, look, he needs his rabbi in order to do to our mechla. It's very nice, but what about the rabbi? The rabbi's also a person. So it doesn't make sense to force the rabbi to do the thing, to live that kind of a life, without justifying it. But that doesn't mean that that's the halacha. The primary halacha is v'chai. I'm just saying is that you could deduce the fact that it must be that there's a sense to it. Mikan, you could derive that there's something wrong with teaching Talmud Shein Ohagim. Because if it weren't, then the Torah would have formulated the halacha differently. How are you going to do v'chai? I don't know. Let him get a different rabbi. Is it perfect to get a different rabbi? It's not perfect. But you couldn't do it. It would be like a clash. It's very nice. You want to have v'chai, but it's not fair to the rabbi, and therefore there's nothing you can do. For instance, let's say you have a million talmidim. Right? Let's say that's the case. I don't really know. So what would you say now? Let's say there's a lot of talmidim. He's a Rosh Yeshiva, 24,000 talmidim. I don't know, whatever. Now there's one talmid kills, right? Now, what are you going to say? Okay, you, so you could say, look, the Rebbe, it's the Rebbe's problem. The Rebbe has they made a mistake. The Rebbe's chayev to help this Talmud. And now I, the other Talmud, look, they could come. If they want, they could come. They don't have to. That's their, look, let's say the Rebbe has to move to another state to take care of his ailing parent. So what about Talmidim? Look, if the Rebbe is responsible, keep it up. Let's say he has to. I mean, it's different halacha, whatever, but let's say that's what he has to do. The circumstances of life force him into moving. So what are Talmidim going to do? What are they going to do? I don't know. They're going to have to decide whether they want to go with him or they don't want to go with him. It's just life. But this is life. The Rebbe made a mistake, and because the Rebbe's mistake, that's what has to happen. Look, that is the next halacha. If the Rebbe kills Meshogeg and the Rebbe goes to Galus, his yeshiva goes with him. Megalim yeshiva soim. They go with him.
That's so funny.
What I'm just saying is, like, apparently the Rebbe was bad. The Rebbe was a Nogan also. If you learn from that Rashi, it says that anyone who goes to Mikla apparently Rishon or Rishos. There's nothing to say that Rebbe is a tzaddik. Sometimes the Rebbe also has a chay. Right? I mean, people learn from bad Rebbeim. Not every Rebbe is good. He could have very bad midas. So it's saying is he's corrupt and he has to go to Mikla. And it could be, you could say the same thing. It's just like you're not supposed to have a Talmud Sheino Hagun. The same halach in the Rambam says you're not supposed to learn from a Rav Sheino Hagun. It's bad. You're not supposed to learn Torah from Rav Sheino Hagun. It's going to mess up your Torah. It's not. You have to be connected to the truth of Torah. And a Rebbe Sheino Hagun is bad. You're not allowed to learn from him. So it could be by the same logic. So he's going to be involved in the tshuva. And maybe you also have to come with him. Simplest way to learn is, look, he needs us. Just like the Rebbe needs a Talmidim. Just like the Talmud needs the Rabbi, you could say the Talmidim need the Rabbi. The Rabbi needs the Talmidim. Because it says, yeah, the Chai is the same halacha. Right? You could say it's the same exact halacha. The Chain Harabshikam and the Shiva Soima. Because just like the Talmud's life is his Rabbi, the Rabbi, what's the life of a Rabbi without a Talmidim? Because the Rebbe learns from the Talmidim. That's the Gemara right in this bottom of this page, the famous Gemara that says, I learned a lot from my Rebbeim, and I learned even more from my friends, and Mitamida Yosem Mikulam. He learned most from his students. But part of the life of a Talmud, of a Rebbe, is learning from his Talmidim. So his Talmidim bring out his Limud. So for him, what's he going to do? Go to Ari Meklat, and now he doesn't have any Talmidim. He's not going to pick up many Talmidim in Ari Meklat. So that's part of his v'chai, is the Talmidim are responsible to him. Now it could be, you could say the same thing. Is that fair to send them to Galus? But it could be the same thing. Is that they attach themselves to him, and that was wrong.
Seems like it's perpetuating the problem.
No, because now they're going to repair the problem. Because in Ari Mikled, you're basically, he's going to be involved in Tshuva and Kapara. So he's going to overcome his problem, and then he'll be... It would seem you're going to have to say the same thing. I mean, I don't know. It's not exactly the same, right? But it would seem like in Ari Mikla, he's going to have to work on his problem himself. It doesn't work out exactly. So what's the sense of the Talmidim having to go there? It's true that they had a chait of learning from his Talmud, but it doesn't work out as nicely. Because by the Rabbi, the chait was that he was arming this guy with Torah.
Right.
And now the Talmidim, now he's fixing that. But what was the chait by the Talmidim? That they were attached to the Rebbe wasn't proper. No, so now how does this repair it by them going to Miklat and it's not clear.
He has his Rebbe also.
Okay, so it'd be nice if we could explain that part about the Rav. How exactly works that other side of the picture, you know? What exactly is the chait of learning from him, and how exactly does it solve it? Says Rav, I mean, the truth is, to really do it, you have to think about why it is that you can't learn from him. What's the chait of learning from
him?
Yeah, the Gemara doesn't do the analogous thing that you learn from here that you shouldn't learn from Rav Sheino Hagun. I'm just saying, in fact, it happens to be the same halacha applies. So
you have a responsibility to find the proper Rav, I guess.
Yeah, you're right. It could be because I think they say you can't learn from him because I think they say it says Rebbe Meir learns from Acher or something like that. So I think it says that he knew how to learn from him and that it wouldn't affect him. I think the simple pshat is, look, at Rebbe, you make him as a role model. You set him up as a guy who teaches you Torah, and that's a position of authority and a role model. And now you're going to learn from his bad midos. So you have to basically, he has to be, a Rebbe's not just a guy to give you knowledge, a body of facts, a body of method of learning. is to give you truth and a relationship to God. That's what it says. If the Rebbe is like a Malach Hashem Tzvakos, then learn from him. If not, not. It means a Malach means he's like a messenger of God. If he could bring you to God, then you learn from him. If he's going to bring you to corruption and you're just trying to get to pick off knowledge from him, then that's bad. Because he's not. The goal isn't to gain knowledge. The goal is to gain Kekir Lamakom, to gain perfection. So if he's corrupt, then he's going to influence you to the Ra. So you may learn how to learn, but that's not the ultimate value. Isn't learning how to learn. The ultimate value is truth and reality, and it's too dangerous. But it could be Rabbi Meir was able to pick up the good things from Acher and avoid the bad things. But in general, a person can't do that. In general, a person can't do it, and it's not worth it. Stay away from the Rabbi. If he's not good, if you judge him to be a corrupt guy, then don't learn from him. He gives a great cheer. Tough break. You know, and if you do, and he goes to Ari Miklat, then you got to come for the ride. Maybe in Ari Miklat, you also have to participate in his kapara. Maybe you partake of his chatayim. Maybe that's, you know, so far as he's going to Miklat, and he's a bad guy, and he's going to turn away for a kapara, maybe you participate in his corruption. I mean, you're not going to go over Seach Chicago, but insofar as he basically is repairing, could be your chait is that you partake of his rishas, because you're his tamidim, and you're partaking of his bad traits. So maybe
right, you never bother to refute your Rebbe on something. Your Rebbe says a bad svara,
right.
You just let it,
Right.
Oh, that makes sense.
Right.
That really doesn't.
Right. But I'm saying different. That insofar as he's a bad guy, and you're saying Gor Miklat is because your rishas lead you to Gor Miklat, so now your chait is that you're attaching yourself to a bad Rebbe.
Right.
So you partake of his bad midos because he's your Rebbe. Whereas the danger of having a Rebbe is bad is that you partake of his bad midos. So now, so far as he's going to Armiklat to repair his midos, so now you can't just say, oh, my Rebbe's a bad guy, he's going to Armiklat and I'm just okay. Because the very problem of the Rebbe of Shein HaHagon is that you're going to partake of his bad midos. You know what I mean? So therefore, it could be that you also have to partake in his kapara. And v'chai, that's why it's right for you to have to go. But the real halacha is because of yourself, because of the rabbi. The rabbi needs v'chai, same halacha, they have to give him chayim, and he needs to tamid them. But is it fair for them? Is it right for them? What they do wrong? Well, whatever midos he has that he need to be repaired, the assumption is that the bad midos of the time of the rabbi rubs off into tamid them. I'm saying it's like this, what's wrong with having a bad rabbi? I'm saying it's because a bad rabbi creates bad tamid them. In general, he's your role model, he's your authority figure, you're going to partake of his chait. Now, if a Rebbe is kills Bashogeg and he needs a kapara, so now is it appropriate for the Talmidim to say, my Rebbe was corrupt, but we are tzaddikim and we're going to go learn by somebody else? I say, no, is it the same way the Rebbe has his flaw and his bad character traits? By you sticking to the Rebbe and being his Talmud, you're also going to partake of his bad midos. In general, he's your authority, and you're not going to exceed, in general, his bad midos, so you're going to partake of his bad midos. So therefore, insofar as he's going there for a kapara and to work on those midos, then you're going to, in general, have those same problems. So therefore, you're going to, you should, it's not just to learn the Torah, but you also are in need of a kapara.
And that's our justification, meaning that
they're
really chayav to go there halachically because of the chai.
Right,
so
but, yeah,
but
the same thing is that, what they do wrong, do they really belong in Ari Miklat? Yeah, they do. They do. They need the same reason he does. They didn't technically kill Bishogeg, but they partake of his midos. It's a little different than by the Rabbi. By the Rabbi, it's not that he partakes of the midos, it's just it's different. What I'm saying by the Talmidim, maybe you'll say, is that Talmidim in general partake of the midos of the Rabbi. And I think it's true, is that in general, there's a big, identification with the Rabbi and their parents, for instance. You notice, for instance, kids often have the bad and make the character traits of the parents because they're their role models, and in general the person lives up to his role model. So if a Rebbe has a certain type of amida, you'll probably often find that the students kind of set their bar to be like their Rebbe. So if the Rebbe has a certain amida, then that could affect the students. Look, I mean, it's kind of a work in progress. I mean, this last part, I don't really have worked out. It would be interesting to look into this thing about the bad Rebbe and the bad, it's a whole, it's the Rambam, Talmud, Torah, Dalet, Aleph, both these halachas. Good Rebbe, good Talmud. Interesting to see what's used, how this applies nowadays, and whether people actually do this, the Talmidim or whatever. Could be, someone said, like in Kiryat Yeshivas, those kinds of things. I don't think they're teaching them Gemara that much as like Derech HaChaim, Moser, that type of thing,
Right.
But it seems to be saying it's not really the derech to take a guy who's a bum or going on a really bad path just to start teaching Gemara. Not the thing. Tell him Ashkafa. Tell him ideas about Torah. Show him why the Torah is true. Show him Derech HaChayim. Try to get him on the proper path. You know, then you'll teach him the Torah. He's not ready to start learning Sugyas. So
Ashkafa also.
I mean, I guess in Ashkafa also, you have to be careful what exactly you're teaching him. But the point is, you're trying to bring him back to the proper path. You're not just trying to give him the keys of the Torah. I mean, you have to start somewhere. You have to show him why the Torah is true, why the Torah is good, what's the proper Derech HaChayim of the Torah. Otherwise, what do you expect him to be better? I mean, he doesn't know anything. So you have to show him at least why he should be good, why he should be in there, why this is a good path. But it doesn't mean to teach him Sugyas. So what does he have to know Sugyas? It's not going to help him. It's just not giving him Torah. He's not shy for that. Yeah, okay. Yeah, so...